technology. I'm all tuned in now, turned on, wireless. This is an iPod. How many of you are recording a lecture on an iPod? Oh, you're not? Okay. Well, since none of you thought that you would do that, I will. So, I will record it, and I will put it on the website most days after class in MP3 format. So, if you fall asleep, you have gaps in your notes, and you have lots of spare time, you can go on the website and download the lecture and see what you missed. Okay. That wasn't where I was going to start. I was going to start with, hi, and welcome to Human Development and Family Studies 5, Human Development. That's what it says up there. Now I'll show you, we're going to test this out. We're going to see what happens. There's technology in the room that lets me do that, but is that going to be too dim for you? Can't do that. Okay. Uh-oh. They're supposed to come back on. There it is. Okay, I've got it. I have to hit 6 things to bring it back. Okay, I've got it. I'll learn. I have not, excuse me, I have not taught in this room except for guest lectures, so it'll take me a bit to get used to it. But I'm not intimidated by it. Hello! You're up there. Okay. This is the introductory human development course, and there is space in it if that's a question that you have. You may be sitting close enough to see me. If you're not, let's see if I can do this, which will... Thank you. Bailey Howe. They should also have a copy of the CD downstairs in Bailey Howe in the media reference library. Just ask for the CD for HDFS5. Or borrow one. Or study with a friend who has it. The CD is not required. There won't be assignments on the CD, but it is, I'm told, useful. It has quizzes on it. It has an interesting set of exercises to go through that give you some hints about ways that you personally might study more effectively from that particular text. That's all the reading, and we will do it all. We will cover the entire text. What you'll see when you get to page 6 in the syllabus, but you don't have to turn there now, is that we will not read the text from front to back. The text is set up in chronological order through the stages of life from beginning to end, but we're not going to teach it that way, or I'm not going to teach it that way. So the text will be chopped up into bits, and you can read it any way you want to, but you're responsible for the material that I assign for each particular unit. There are 3 exams, and the dates are listed. Some of you will take the exams here. Actually, what's going to happen most likely is that I'll divide the class into thirds, and you will take one of the 3 exams in another location, and 2 of them here. We'll rotate that, and we'll let you know which part of the alphabet is going to go where, when. The grades for the course are based on accumulated points on the examinations and on some periodic, irregularly scheduled, unscheduled, random, unannounced writing exercises that happen in class. And then there is at least one exercise and possibly 2 that will be done outside class. And so it's thank you. Reviews, so you can go through it and see what somebody thinks is important to get out of the text. I already mentioned the CD-ROM. There's also a website for the text, which you, by having purchased the text, you should be able to get on that website and see what resources are there. There is a website for the course that I just demonstrated, and that has all kinds of wonderful stuff on it, including news. So if you missed the announcement about where you were supposed to go for the exam, it will be on the website. The audio recordings will be on the website. The syllabus is there if you're wondering what you have to read and you're in Philadelphia and you want to read. You have your text, but you don't know what you were supposed to read. You can log on and get the syllabus. And then there are some things that we hope are helpful. They're intended to be helpful, and I think they're really important. One is that last year, or the year before, I gave myself the challenge of defining what I thought might be the 100 really important ideas for this class. What are the main points? What is it I'm trying to teach? What do I want you to know? So I actually wrote that, and it's called The Main Points. And it's on the website. It's its own page. It says Main Points. And it covers the entire course. I haven't counted. There's an assignment for you. No, don't bother. If anybody counts, let me know how many main points there are. They are very closely aligned with what I'm trying to get across in lectures. What actually gets across in lectures, I'm never quite sure. But what I'm trying to do is elaborate on the main points and drill them into your understanding. They are also closely aligned with the exams. So I do recommend that you look at the main points and see if they help. Even in advance, it would be okay to look at the main points and say, see. At the bottom of page 4 is a note about your email. And since some of you are new to UVM, this is a very important note. If you've been here a while, you don't need this note because you've already done it. But I occasionally will email the entire class. And I do that by going on the registrar's website and clicking on a button that's available to me, and I can send a message to everybody who is enrolled for the course. Two tricks. You have to be enrolled to get the email, so make sure you are enrolled. If you think you're taking this course, just today or tomorrow, check to make sure that it really shows up on your schedule, and if it doesn't, edit. It's really discouraging to get to the end of the course and not get a grade, because I never take attendance and I never check the roster. Well, we do after the exam, so we're likely after the first exam to tell you, hey, you're not enrolled. Glad to have you, but you're not enrolled. If you're not enrolled, you won't get the email. The second small detail is that the registrar's computer automatically uses your uvm.edu address. It doesn't know your AOL, your Sovereignet, or any other email address that you might use, including Yahoo. It will only send it to your official UVM address. You are responsible for everything that goes to your uvm.edu address. So make sure that you get in the habit of checking that. If you don't want to use it, if you prefer your Yahoo or your AOL, then make sure that you forward your UVM address to that one that you do use. And all I will get is that it went to you at your UVM.edu. And if you're not getting them, you may miss the fact that we moved the exam to New Hampshire or something. And then you'll be sitting here all by yourself wondering what happened. If you use AOL or any of the others, any of the other services, make sure that you keep it clean. Thank you. may discover as you go along that the text doesn't address a particular question either. So not all the questions have answers in this or any text, but they're designed to get you to think about how human development works and also to give you a clue as to how my strange mind works. The last two pages are questions that students often have as we go through the course and the answers to those questions. So, you can go over those at your leisure. Are there questions at this point about anything I've said so far? They're all totally confused, Julie. Okay. All right. Now, one of the things I skipped over in the syllabus is a place where it says, we'll try to help you with any particular assistance you need with the course. Okay. So if you have any particular need, if you need to sit up front, if you need to tape record, iPod, if you need somebody else to take notes for you so that you can listen and pay attention, because some of us have difficulty processing two things at once. Some of us can take wonderful notes, we just don't understand anything we heard or wrote. That was my problem in college. If there's anything that you need, feel free to ask or just go ahead and do it. I'm not offended. If you want to videotape, go right ahead. Just don't publish the videotape. Okay. And speaking of having somebody take notes for you, if you would like to do that for other students, if you have nice handwriting, if you intend to be here every single class and think that taking notes would be a nice way, taking notes for other people to read would be real motivation for you to stay awake and pay attention, and think through. Thank you. So that you can read it, nobody else, 10 changes that you have experienced or that you expect to experience or that you think most people experience during their lives. Go. Stop when you get to 10.
Thank you.
That looks at people in large groups. We might look at how people behave because of who they are, identity. People are Northern Europeans, or people are Latin Americans. People are Middle Easterners. There are fields of study that look at that aspect of people, and how does that influence their behavior? We're not going to do that in this class either. So what are we going to do? Well, one of the things that we're going to do is to look at interpersonal relationships. That's really important to understand about people. How do people relate to each other? Are you close with friends? Are you intimate with your friends? Are you nurturing? How do you relate to other people? Are you cold and standoffish? Do you have few friendships? Do you abandon relationships after they get too close? Are you uninterested in children? What kind of interpersonal relationships do you have? That's really important to think about if you're trying to understand a person. How does that person deal with other people? We could also think about the internal feelings and self-concept of a person. And that we would get if I came to you and said, tell me about yourself. How do you view yourself? How do you think about yourself? What kind of person do you think you are? Are you anxious? Are you self-confident? How does that happen? That people look like the people who contributed sperm and ovum to them. How did that happen? What is the role of genetics in that? Why did I go through puberty differently than my brother? My brother went through puberty very, very quickly. He grew so fast he spent part of his pubertal years in bed aching. He was so exhausted by the whole growth process. I came along later and just slowly and smoothly and wonderfully, and he ended up with hair. I didn't. He ended up clumsy. I didn't, of course. Watch me fall off the stairs. Be careful with things like that. What was the biological difference between us? We had the same parents, we're told. Why were we different? How does that come about? Very few of us look at every aspect of a person and try to understand that person's development from the zygote, the fertilized ovum, through old age. Very few of us do that. Most researchers and academics and thinkers pick some particular part of human beings and say, okay, let me understand that. And you can major in anatomy and physiology. You can major in molecular biology. You can major in cognitive psychology. You can major in personal or interpersonal psychology. You can major in sociology. You can major in anthropology, which would be up there. Let's fill that in. Different cultures. Why are people in Bangladesh different from people in the U.S.? You can major in religion or philosophy. This course would love to be about all of them, but it's an introductory course. So we're going to focus on these. Thank you. Some of us are going to get pregnant. Some of us are going to go through menopause. Some of us are going to get really old and decrepit. Decrepitation. And then we're going to die. Decrepitation is a technical term for what happens when something starts to fall apart and not work well. I first heard it applied to my own body when I was in college. Let this be a warning to you. I was having trouble with my shoulders, and this one particularly, which does all kinds of interesting things. I'm not going to put the microphone next to it, but it's really fun to listen. I'll do it sometime. Anyway, it goes snap, crackle, pop, grind. And it started doing that in college. And I went to the health center, and the orthopedic specialist looked at me, and he said, he had me do all kinds of interesting things like that. And this one's actually better now. Isn't that fun? Yeah. Great party trick. It's been doing that since I was 18, so I can still... can't do anything with it. And the orthopedic specialist looked at my shoulder, and then he looked at my hair, which was thinning at 18. And he said, "You may have noticed that some parts of your body age faster than others." I said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, that's what's happening to your shoulder. It's aging. That's called joint decrepitation, which means the joint is falling apart. And if it hurts too much, we can put cortisone in it. Otherwise, good luck." So, I've had good luck. My arm hasn't fallen off yet. Okay, so we have changes that take place biologically, and we're going to look at biological changes through the lifespan. That's what Unit 1 is about. And then about the time your TANs are completely gone, we're going to go back, we're going to have an exam, and then we're going to go back and we're going to start the second domain, and Unit 2 And figuring out how they're going to pay off your college expenses, their parents are becoming problematic. So they thought they would be free, and now they're taking care of their parents, and their responsibilities are increasing. And then eventually, and this has already happened for some of you, but parents die. And one parent gets widowed or widowered and has to learn to live alone, and that's an interpersonal chain of great significance. It's happened to many of your grandparents already. Okay, so that's what we're going to do, and this is the way my brain is set up. This is the way my mind thinks about human development. We divide us up and slice us into domains that focus on different aspects of our behavior and our development. I want you to understand how each of those domains looks across the lifespan. What is the difference between a 4-year-old and a 40-year-old and an 80-year-old? How are they different? How are their worlds different biologically? How is their thinking different? How are their relationships different? But here comes the kicker. Biologically, we're just going to go through it. But when we come back and think about thinking, then I'm going to ask you also to make the connections between those two domains. What happens as I go through puberty, which is a biological change, set of biological changes, what happens to my thinking? I know, some of you know what happened to your thinking. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about your problem solving, your awareness of the world, your ability to solve complex problems. What happens? What happens when your brain starts to deteriorate at 30 because you've drunk yourself blotto from your first day at UVM until you get to be 30? What's happened to your brain? You pickled it. How is your thinking going to change? It will, I promise. As your liver changes. Sorry, that's just what happens when you go to college. You're also not going to be getting enough sleep. You're also going to be... We're not going there. Okay. There are going to be biological changes that happen because of the new social situation that you have put yourself in. One of our purposes in this course is to understand each of the domains separately and then to think about how those domains get put together. The second assumption, remember I was on assumption one. The second assumption I've already been dealing with, and this one again is on the web. I can't really think about the whole lifespan. Can you think about your whole life? Think of yourself across the whole lifespan. That's sort of difficult to conceptualize. So what we do in the field of human development is to think about transitions or changes and stages. The stages are what happen between major transitions. So, for example, and this is on the web again, so you don't have to. Scramble to write it down. What happens is that we have a major event, conception. I guess that's the transition. And that's followed by a stage that we call the prenatal stage. You're an embryo and fetus. You all remember that particularly well. And then you go through another event, which is birth, and you become an infant. Okay, so that's a stage. So now we have two stages, the prenatal stage and the infant stage, separated by a major transition. And then, let's put talk in here. Because when you start to talk and walk, we're going to call you a toddler. Thank you.
back.
A transition, a stage, which domains does it fit in? Where would you place it? And what other parts of the matrix might it be connected to? So if the change you thought of takes place in childhood, is it related to changes that might come earlier or later than childhood? And we will pick up from there on Wednesday. Thank you. Sure. Yeah.
Stop and save. I did it.